Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, we got a little imbalance in here tonight. Feeling a little bit more heavy on this side. Praise the Lord. So if I just preach this side, no, I'm just kidding. We're going to bring some people over onto this end too, I guess, here in a minute. But glory to God. Well, I'm thankful for the word tonight. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for all the things that God has for us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We know that God is doing great and wonderful things. Amen. I'm just so thankful for a God who is, he isn't a changing God. And I say that in the sense that he changes things for us, amen, but he's not a changing God. You know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. He is the Lord. He does not change, and I love that. And why do I love that so much? Because it really gives us something to count on. You know, one thing, as I've counseled different people over the years, you know, there's people that I've met that are just, you know, they'll bebop from here to there. I call them ping pong Christians, you know, they ping pong around, praise the Lord. And I'm not just talking churches, I'm just talking in life, you know, they just kind of bounce around, never really knowing, but God is a God of stability. And I just love that about our Lord. If it wasn't for God and his word coming into my life, praise the Lord, I would still be an unstable mess. Praise God. I was the biggest ping pong of them all. Glory to God. But God has settled me down. Now I'm more like a bowling ball rolling down on course. Praise the Lord. Just looking to knock something out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, well, praise God. I'm glad that you decided to join us tonight. This is our Easter, our resurrection weekend. Praise the Lord. How we do it in the family churches, we don't necessarily plan a specific service. We just follow the Lord, and he'll have us, give us a message. Praise the Lord. I had a message prepared this afternoon, and as I was praying, something came to me, and God changed it. So I'm assuming that somebody in here needed to change. Praise the Lord, and God wants to do something new. Amen. Praise the Lord. But today's message is called We Have Choices. Praise God. We have choices. And this is going to help us a lot. Amen. We're going to be talking about choosing and choosing right tonight. And this is a thing, you know, the fact that we have choices doesn't mean that every choice is good. The fact that there is choices doesn't mean that everything that we can choose will help us. It doesn't mean that everything we can't, you know, we're Americans. We can, I'm just going to move this over here, so don't mind me, but we're Americans. So we get used to the fact of that we can have things our way, and that, man, if it doesn't bless me, then then I want to change it, and I want to rally against it and stuff like that. But you know, sometimes things are the way that they are for a reason. Amen. I won't ever claim that God does bad things to people, because he doesn't. You know, the Bible says that temptation does not come from God; it comes from the devil, or it comes from our own sin. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it doesn't even come from the devil; it just comes from our own desires to do wrong. But God doesn't cause temptation, but it does say that with every temptation, he gives us a way out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that. But, you know, just because he gives us a way out of it doesn't mean we take the way out of it. And one thing I've learned as a pastor, today is our fifth anniversary, praise the Lord. 5 years ago today, was the first time that we ever pastored a church, praise the Lord. And I've been a pastor now for 5 years, but I can tell you something I've seen in 5 years, almost across the board, is that people's choices, people make choices, and the choices they make aren't always good ones. And the reason that a lot of people get into a lot of trouble is because directly related to the choices that they've made, amen? And I know this, of course, from my own life. I'm not judging other people, but we need to understand this. We need to understand this concept, not so we can sit there and pick at people and say, listen, everything you're dealing with is just because of you, and it's you're the problem, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. We don't want to tear people down. But we, on the other hand, we do have to understand the truth. And the truth, because Jesus said it was the truth that would set us free. Amen. And the choices that we make have everything to do with what kind of life we'll live. Amen. I made a lot of bad choices when I was younger. I made a lot of terrible choices when I was younger. And I dealt with some of these, the consequences of those for many years. Amen. And some of you had made some bad choices in your life, and you've dealt with those. Amen. But God does not intend us to make bad choices. He only intends us to make good choices. And yes, he has given us a way to know exactly what to choose, when to choose it, how to choose it. Praise the Lord. And I get excited for that. And so we have choices, but we need to choose the right choices. We need to make the right ones. Amen. We're going to start in Galatians 5. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5:24. You know, just a common theme throughout Scripture, and especially through the New Testament, but throughout whole of Scripture, is God giving people the option to do something, and people either choosing to do it and being blessed, or people choosing not to do it and not being blessed. Yeah. Now, a lot of folks have this idea that God is up there manipulating things like some kind of spiritual marionette. He's up there pulling strings and getting people to move just this way or that way. But we know that that's not the way that it works. Praise God. If somebody goes out and goes to a bar and goes drinking and gets really drunk and then goes out and gets in a car accident and kills somebody, that wasn't God's will that person died. It wasn't God's will for that to happen. Why? Because the Bible clearly tells us it wasn't God's will for that person to be drinking in the first place. And so they went out there and they made that decision, and that decision affected somebody else. It's a horrible, tragic thing, but God isn't deciding, well, I just decided by this person's bad actions that I'm going to kill this other person. First of all, that's sadistic, and I would never serve a God like that. Amen? I would never want to serve a God like that. It's disgusting. Praise the Lord, to think that people think that God is just causing all these horrible things. You know, you get some loudmouth Christians that'll get up there sometimes when something bad happens, and the first thing they want to say is how God is doing this and God is doing that. Well, the Bible clearly tells us the works of God, and clearly tells us the works of the devil. Clearly tells us to the point where I can point to them, and yet people still have a hard time with what I'm saying. And why do people have a hard time with what I'm saying? Because when you take God out of the picture, when you take His motives out of it, what you take away from people often is that belief in some divine purpose for it happening. But not all things happen according to the way God wants them to happen. You know, the Bible tells us that He wills that all men should come to repentance. All men should come to salvation. But we know that not everybody will. So if it was God's will that all men should come to know Him and come to repentance, and yet not everybody does, then we understand that obviously God's will is not automatic. In fact, we see that with the Israelites. You know, I always use them as an example. I think we'll get into that a little bit today. But the Israelites, you know, God gave them a choice. He said, I'm taking you to the promised land. Follow me, and this is where I'll take you. What did they do? They didn't want to follow Him, and they wanted to do things their own way. And because that happened, a lot of them never even went into the promised land. It wasn't God's will to keep them out, but it happened because they didn't follow God's plan. Amen? So what does it say here in Galatians 5:24? Praise God. Hallelujah. It says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Yeah. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, I know what you're sitting there thinking. You're thinking, well, Pastor Jeff, so far this doesn't seem like a very Eastery message. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you it is. Actually, the two messages I'm preaching, and not tonight and tomorrow, not by any plan on my part, but are both really Eastery messages. They're both just about, because the whole concept here, the whole basis of this, is that we need to act the way Jesus acted. And Jesus was the ultimate in crucifying the flesh. Why? Because He got crucified. But we understand that it wasn't just the crucifixion where He crucified the flesh. Jesus laid down His life for His fellow workers, for fellow people. He did things for people. He constantly sacrificed His desires, His will, in order to fulfill the will of God. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus said, nevertheless, He said to the Father when He was about to go to the cross, He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Amen. And so we see this is what crucifying the flesh is. But the Bible clearly tells us here that if you're Christ, if you belong to Him, if you truly belong to God, then you also have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So this year, this Easter Saturday, praise the Lord, this pre-Easter Saturday, I'm here to tell you that God does not want you to enjoy life anymore. He doesn't want you to have any fun in life. He doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be miserable. You need to crucify your flesh. In fact, if you start, and I've seen a few of you smile there, and now I'm not mad at you. I'm going to tell you God's mad at you. The angels are mad at you. Praise the Lord, because you're sitting there smiling and God wants you to crucify that flesh. He doesn't want you happy. He doesn't want you to be full of desires and have passions and any of that. Come on. That's not what that's talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people kind of preach that way, though, don't they? God wants us to enjoy this life. In fact, if you read the few scriptures before then, this, we find out what the fruits of the Spirit actually are. That the fruits of the Spirit will actually, the Spirit will lead us to that place of being more happy, more blessed, more joyful, more at peace. Praise the Lord. With more self-control. That's a pretty awesome thing, isn't it? To be able to live in the, have heaven on earth. That's what Jesus intended. That's what abundant life is. That's what John 10:10 is speaking about, praise the Lord. What it's talking about here, though, is about crucifying the flesh, and specifically about putting down desires that are unhealthy, things that aren't good. You know, I use this example, I think maybe Tuesday night, and I love that. I was listening to a minister preach, and he was on TV. He was going to be on TV on a talk show, and they were talking about, in this specific instance, they were talking about alcohol. Praise the Lord. And they were talking about whether or not Christians should drink or shouldn't drink. And he had just a really good, they weren't talking to him yet. He was there and he was just kind of in the back of my mind. He's like, oh, I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get into this. And then finally they get around to him and they said, what do you think about this? And his response was, I just think was great. He said, I don't search scripture looking to give my flesh or give myself opportunities for the flesh. Yeah. I don't search scripture to try to justify doing something in my flesh. Amen. That's not what scripture is for. And if you're a Christian that's doing that, you're already off. If you feel that you have to justify, the Bible says to have faith in God and to have faith in his direction. If you have faith in something, then you don't need to justify it to anybody. Jesus didn't need to just, they accused Jesus of things he didn't even do. And the Bible says that he didn't even answer them a word. Right. Praise the Lord. Why did he do that? Because he didn't need to justify what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. He knew that they were accusing him wrong, but it didn't matter because he knew what he was doing. Yeah. It's just like us. We need to know what we're doing. We need to know with what we're, you know. And I always find this about things like that when Christians, because over the years, I've been a Christian longer than 5 years, praise God. But one thing I've noticed about Christians is that one of the things that we love to do is we love to try to figure out ways to be okay with the things that we do wrong. Yeah. Whenever we're doing something that we know probably isn't right, yeah. Listen, if you're questioning whether it's right or wrong, that is your first clue right there. Yeah. Praise God, because God, the Bible says that he put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Now, sometimes we can go too far with things and we can get into condemnation. You know, I say this often, God has given us freedom. You know, but freedom in Christ does not mean a free for all in Christ. Right. Praise the Lord. But God wants us to choose right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, I myself was a drug abuser. I was an alcohol abuser. I was a fornicator. I did all these things. And I'm going to tell you, in all my life living all that way, I never was blessed in any of it. I was never blessed in any of it. And no one around me was blessed because of it. In fact, my life fell apart more and more and more. And if you've seen some of the things that I've had to see as a pastor, I've seen people's lives who have absolutely fallen apart by these different substances. Yeah. So I'm not going to give them the time of day. Amen. I'm not going to sit there trying to justify saying with my freedom in Christ. No, we need to take, this is exactly what this message is about. It's about taking our choices and making choices for God. Yeah. Making choices that bless the kingdom of God. Not choices. You know, listen, we are not just people. We are not just saved so we can sit in churches, hear a message, and then go out and live the life any way we want. We're saved so we can go out into the world and share with the world what God has done for us. Amen. I have to question a Christian who doesn't have a desire to go out and share with the world what God has done in their life. They just want to keep it. Jesus said, he's like, you're the light of the world. You don't put a light under a bushel basket. What do? You put it up on it. You put it up so everybody can see it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I want to pose a question to you tonight as we think about this. What would you give for the one who gave it all? Jesus, on this weekend, you know, kind of 2,000 years ago, he gave everything. God gave everything. He paid it all for us. What would you do in return for that kind of sacrifice? I think this is a question that Christians do not ask themselves enough. Because, see, when we get so wrapped up in our day-to-day life, listen, we have lives to live. You know, and God wants us happy here. He wants us blessed here. I'm not saying that every single moment you got to be in your word and in prayer and you got to be on your knees and you got to be evangelizing to people and stuff like that. Yes, you can go out and do fun things too. But we have to understand that the freedom in Christ did not open a way so we could just have opportunity for the flesh. Right. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There are things as a pastor, because I choose to pastor. God made me a pastor. I didn't pick the pastor in the sense, I didn't say, hey, call on me. It was the last thing on my mind. It was the last thing that I wanted. In fact, it was the last thing the people wanted. When they first announced that my wife and I were going to pastor, you could hear an audible gasp in the really? Them? And that's a, yeah, because I was the maintenance guy. I didn't do, you know what I mean? I was the usher. I was the maintenance guy. We were just behind the scenes. We weren't anybody special. I didn't have any great speaking skills. My wife can speak much better than I can, but I wasn't formally trained. I was a high school dropout. I was all these things that nobody wanted, praise the Lord. But see, God had different plans for me, but I still had to say, okay. But there's things as a pastor, there's things because I've chosen to follow God's plan for my life. There's things I can't touch ever again. There's things I can't do ever again. You know, the average Christian, if they just screwed up one night, went to a bar, nobody'd think much of it. They'd get over it. But you saw the local pastor in a bar, guess what? You got a whole different outcome. And it should be that way. Praise the Lord. But not just that. If the average Christian, if they screwed up somehow, praise the Lord, in a lot of ways. We don't have that option. In fact, when it happens, what does everyone want to do? They want to tear apart the ministry. They want, because why? Because some human, right, made a mistake. They want to tear pastors down that have fallen into sin. But above and beyond that, there's certain things that I can't get into. I can't just go take a month off. Why? Because I have two churches that need me. I can't just go disappear for a month or 2 months. Praise the Lord. There's some people that do. Amen. I can't do that and still be in the plan of God. You know, and there's lots of things like that. Am I sad about that? No, I'm not sad at all, because the glory, the joy that's been set before me is so much greater. It's so much more wonderful what God has for me. And it is for each and every one of us. Amen. We need to follow that. What would you do, or what would you give for the one who gave it all? I have to go before the Lord all the time and consecrate myself and say, Lord, your will, not my will. And I don't just come out and say it that way, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you have me to do, and I'll do it with joy. Yeah. Amen? Amen. But as Christians, we need to all do that. That needs to be at the heart of every man, woman, and child who has been born again. Amen? Turn with me to Deuteronomy. Praise the Lord. We're talking about choices. You want to know where this actually came from? I know you do. Praise God. But I was laying on my couch today, and I was praying. I was praying in the Spirit. And as I was laying there praying, I had already, you know, my messages for the weekend were all ready to go as far as I knew. And I was just praying in the Spirit, seeking the Lord. And as I was laying there praying, all of a sudden out of my spirit, I started speaking out choices, choices, choices. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what that's for. Well, praise God. And then this message came. Hallelujah. With the scriptures that follow. Amen. This is the first place God led me to. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. We'll read through the end of the chapter, verse 20. Praise God. It says, for this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. Oh, I love that. God isn't commanding us things that are so hard for us to understand, we just can't get it. You all know, you've probably heard me say it, but I'll say it again just for the sake of repeating it. Praise the Lord. But one of the things I hate the most is when you hear that stupid phrase, God works in mysterious ways. No, he doesn't. God works the same way he always works, the same way he wrote down to tell us he works. Praise the Lord. He doesn't work any different. Still the same God. He hasn't changed. He said, look what I did here. In fact, we're told in Timothy, 1st or 2nd Timothy, can't remember, but one of the Timothys, we're told that all of this scripture is written to teach us. Yes. Amen? So we can understand. Yes. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. And it says here, this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you. This isn't something that's hard to understand. Jesus said, take upon my yoke. My burden, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said to follow me. He's gentle in spirit, lowly in spirit. Praise the Lord. He's easy to follow. Actually, the Bible also tells us that the commandments of God are not burdensome. They won't burden you down. They won't weigh you down. If they're weighing you down, it's not the commandments of God that weigh you down. It's the sin that will lay us down. Amen? Well, praise God. So it's not too mysterious for you. It's not too far, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that they should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. Everybody say very near.
Very near,
very near means very near. Yeah. Means close. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to give you a clue. This scripture was written before the Holy Spirit had been poured out on God's people. Yeah. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Then it was very near. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be with you and he will be in you. And he is your teacher. He is your guide. He is the one that's going to lead you into all the promises of God. Praise the Lord. So guess what? That very near is right there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's very near you. In your mouth and in your heart. Now we understand that as the Bible refers to heart here, it means the innermost man, like the inner parts of the belly. Praise the Lord. Some places say, in the translation says kidneys, but we understand it's the depths. It's right here is where the spirit of man is or woman. Praise the Lord. It's very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Notice that the direction of God has to do with being in you, in your heart, but it also has something to do with being in your mouth. What we say will become what we do. The way we speak is what we become. Now, doesn't the Bible teach us that? Amen? That's very good, isn't it? I actually wrote this in my Bible right next to this. Your yes, and I put an exclamation mark, meaning my yes matters. When God speaks to me in my spirit, when he speaks to me in my heart, will I say yes to him? Will I go? I'm going to tell you something. As somebody who is petrified to stand in front of a group of people, glory to God. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I couldn't even sit at a restaurant table with one other person and pray because that's how scared I was of doing this in front of other people. That's where I was at.
Yeah.
So you sit there and think, well, I could never speak for God. Well, I'm telling you right now, praise the Lord. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be before you today.
Right.
Amen. I had to say yes, though. As we all do. Praise the Lord. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Now, when it says he set it before us, it doesn't mean that God's pouring out death on us. But he's setting the choice before us, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. In that, and that's where this is where it explains it, I command you today to love the Lord your God. These are the commands of God. Love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, and keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. Do what God is directing you to do. Follow the word. Base your life on the word and not just what you want to do. This is called crucifying the flesh. Listen, sometimes there is part of the flesh that doesn't want to go to church on a certain night or a certain day or whatever. But the word says, don't forsake the assembling together of the brethren.
Yeah.
Why? Because it doesn't bring joy to God when you come to church. It doesn't do something for him. He gave us church for us. He gave us the ability to have a pastor for us. I am so thankful that as I pastor tonight, as I sit here as the pastor of this church, praise the Lord, that I also have a pastor who is pastoring somewhere that I'm still connected to and I still feed off of. Praise the Lord. And he has a pastor that he's still connected to and he feeds off of. And in fact, I even mentor with his pastor. Why? Because none of us are above having a pastor. It's important. Why? Because Jesus gave us him.
Yeah.
Amen? He did. Praise the Lord. Part of what he did this weekend.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Bible says when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And then he explained what the gifts were. And it was the fivefold ministry office. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, remember, when I talk about pastor, I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about Jeff Michener up here. Praise the Lord. I'm up here talking and stuff. I'm talking about the thing that God does through me. Praise the Lord. Or any other pastor. Praise God. Or any other minister. Praise the Lord. And look what it says here. You want to keep all, he's going to command you today to keep all these things, right? To do all this stuff. Love the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Even Jesus today said, if you love me, do what I tell you to do,
yeah.
Right? Praise the Lord. What's it say here? That you may live and multiply.
Yeah.
And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess.
Yeah.
Listen, he gave us this commandment. He said that you may live and multiply. God gives the ability to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase. He gives it to man. But he connects it with something, doesn't he? connects it to following him, to listening to his word, to loving him, to do what he says to do. Praise the Lord. This is where Christians fail, because Christians don't make it their aim and goal in life to seek after that Jesus, to seek after that God and say, Lord, what is it you have for me to do? Where do you want me to live? What church do you want me to go to? What pastor do you want me to have? What job do you want me to have? You know, we teach our kids, and I see this in the church. I see this all the time. People are raising teenage kids, and they're like, they're telling the kids, well, you can do anything you want to do. And I've never told my kids that. It's foolishness to tell your kids they can do whatever they want to do. Yeah. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you what. When I was 16, some of the things I wanted to do would take me to hell. Yeah. I didn't get into fornicating because my mom was sitting there saying, go out and do it. I was doing it because I decided to go do it. I didn't go out there and start doing drugs because mom said, here you go, honey, go try some of this mess. No, I went out and did it myself. Why? Because that's what my flesh wanted to do. Praise the Lord. It was all her fault. She didn't teach me how to crucify the flesh. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. That's a joke. My mom's sitting right up. That's a joke. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's not Mother's Day. Praise the Lord. It's Easter. Even Mary cried this weekend, amen? So if you got, no, I'm just kidding. It's a joke, praise. This is a joke. It's a joke. Praise the Lord. You know, I got the best mother in the world, amen? Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. But I wanted to follow my own flesh. See, you know, it's just like the prodigal son. Amen? That's what I was. My mom didn't teach me wrong. She taught me right. She didn't teach me how to talk. She taught me everything else, but praise God. But she taught me right from wrong. She taught me to love God and to do the best that she knew how and to follow Jesus and all this stuff. And it was important to go to church and all these things. She taught me these things, but I was wanting to get into other things. Amen? And I didn't crucify the flesh. Praise God. That's the truth. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land where you go to possess. See, God will bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. But so many people, like, listen, there's so many people. God said, this is what I have for you. But they're over here looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, that's not for you. But they won't listen. And because they won't listen, God ain't going to bless it. People are making their own plans and they're going before God. They're saying, Lord, bless my plans. And he's saying, I'm not going to bless your plans. I only bless my plans. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans, the thoughts and the plans I have for you.
Yeah.
Not the ones you have for you. It doesn't say I know the thoughts and plans you. He does know the thoughts and plans that we have. But he also says, you don't think like I think. And you don't act like I act. Praise the Lord. Praise God. What if parents did that? A lot of parents are doing that now. Those are parents that need to be smacked. You don't go to your kids and ask them, what do you want to do? How do we cater this life to you? And I'm sorry if you feel that way. Praise the Lord. But if you feel that way, you're out of the will of God. If you feel that way, you're causing your kids to go to hell. We see this all the time. I saw some actor today. I saw on the news their son, when their son was three, said, "I'm a girl. I'm not a boy. I'm a girl." I don't understand how a three-year-old is saying that or articulating that, because I can guarantee you, no three-year-old I've ever been around has gotten to that point, unless that garbage has been put into him. But it's real easy to fix. No, you're not. You're a boy. If you've got boy parts, you're a boy. If you have girl parts, you're a girl. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, this is why the world's confused, because they don't have truth anymore. There's nothing to stand on. It's like everything is flip-floppy back and forth. That's why people are flip-floppy back and forth. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. And if you haven't noticed, it's kind of coming to a head, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. It's not about being political. It's about being truthful. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. But the church is accepting this garbage. The church is saying it's okay. And they wonder why the churches are failing. Because God ain't going to bless a church like that. I'm going to tell you what right now. If I got up here and start preaching that men can be men or men can be women and women can be men, praise the Lord, you better run out of here quicker than, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Glory to God, because that is not the way that God has designed things to be. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. That's not what Jesus didn't die for. So some fairy could start acting like, some fairy guy could start acting like a woman.
Yeah.
That's not what Jesus died for.
No.
I'm just telling you the truth. It might be a little harsh, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, listen, I don't hate people.
Right.
I don't hate people act like fairies.
Right.
I don't like how they act, but I don't hate them. Amen. Have you ever had kids? I always think about kids. You just think about your kids. Have you ever been in a place where, like, your kids have done something and you really didn't like what they were doing? Yeah. But you didn't hate them, did you?
No.
But you didn't approve of what they were doing either, right? Praise the Lord. When your kid is running out towards the middle of the street, a busy street, you don't hate the kid because you yell. You don't hate the kid because you know what I mean? You get after them. Praise the Lord. You love them. Amen. And it's the same exact thing. We need to, but see, if there's not somebody saying that this stuff is wrong, then they give themselves over to it without an issue. And then people just fall into it. And then three-year-old boys are starting to say that they're girls and stuff like that. That's why the world is so screwed up. And God won't put up with it long because it's unnatural. Yeah. That stuff is spiritual in nature. It's unnatural. And when people start doing stuff like that, watch out. Yeah. Look what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. This is Easter, Pastor Jeff. Glory to God. I know. And that's why it's so serious. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, a lot of people get confused. This doesn't mean that you go serve Buddha or something like this. Whatever you worship is whatever is important to you, whatever you is your affection, whatever is put on you. Amen. Yeah. Some people worship their job. Some people worship a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Some people worship. We've watched this happen. How many young people have we watched fall away from God because they started worshiping? They started worshiping some lifestyle. Yeah. It's the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Glory to God. It is. It's the same thing. He says, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish.
Yeah.
This is a choice. Yeah. This is people choosing. Now listen, I know that sometimes it's not as cut and dry as that. That's why it's important to have a relationship with God. That's why it's important to understand who God is. This is why I always choose God over everything else. Amen. I choose God over work. I choose God over playtime. I choose God over anything else. Why? Because it's most important. He's most important in my life. Because if I don't, because I don't want to perish. I spent enough time perishing or going down that road where I was perishing. So it says, and so you shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over in the Jordan to go and possess. Yeah. This is a really interesting scripture because a lot of people think that God, when someone dies, that God just plucks them off the earth, that that's what happens. But he's saying you can prolong your days by how you act. You can prolong your days by what you do, by following God, by listening to God. God's intent is that we have long days. In fact, the Bible tells us this, doesn't it? It says if we live right, actually the one of the directions to kids is to obey your parents so you can live long and prosper. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I mean, maybe mix a little bit of Star Trek or something in there, but that's what he wants us to do. Amen. That's what God intends us to do, is to live long and be blessed and to be a blessing. But we don't do it when we just seek our own way. Oh, praise the Lord. In verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Doesn't just affect us, does it? It affects our descendants, it affects our kids. If I don't live right, my kids won't live right. Praise the Lord. That's just what happens. You've seen it happen. You know what happens. You see the kids. I've watched, I knew a drug addicted young man, and I started, counseling him and talking with him, trying to help him. And the one thing that I directly connected it to very easily, and it wasn't because but just letting him talk about it right back to his parents. Yeah. Parents were partying. Well, they didn't do the same drugs, but it doesn't matter. They had the same free-for-all, the same, this is what this kid grew up around.
Yeah.
So you're surprised now when he's addicted to whatever?
Yeah.
You can't be surprised.
Yeah,
amen?
Yeah.
I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life. And the length of your days.
Yeah.
He is your life and the length of your days.
Amen.
See, again, we see it. God isn't the death fact, the Bible tells us that death is an enemy, amen? And that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them, amen? Oh, praise God. You know, I know a lot of people that sit there and be like, well, that was Old Testament. But the Bible clearly tells us that the Old Testament still applies to us. It hasn't faded away, but then we're going to see this in the New Testament too. Praise God. Matthew 10, 38 and 39 says, and he who does not take up his cross, follow after me, is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. I remember spending a lot of time in my life figuring out how to make, I believed in God. Yeah. I had a faith. I knew that Jesus was the Son of God. I confessed him as my personal Lord and Savior. But, you know, I wasn't connected anywhere. I wasn't growing in the Lord. I wasn't, you know, the Bible says that he who's planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in his court, in the courts of our God. Praise the Lord. If you're planted, you flourish. You know, it's just like a plant. I think about this all the time. You rip a plant out of the ground, you just leave it there. What happens? It dies. And the same thing that happens to people. A lot of people are just tumbleweeds. And God wants, his intent is that they grow, that they learn. That, you know, this is from a person, I'm telling you, and I can't express this with enough emotion to get you to really understand it. But I was a person who suffered from such debilitating depression, such horrible mental anguish. I was on all kinds of medications and stuff like that. And why do I share this so often? I share this stuff to remind you that God is the one who set me free. It wasn't all that stuff. It wasn't all the counseling that helped me. It was when I finally got under the counsel of the Word and started putting to practice the things that someone taught me, because they weren't afraid to hold back, or they weren't afraid to put it out there. They weren't holding back. You know, it's those times where a pastor gets afraid to say things that they become a detriment to the people, because people get afraid because they're not hearing the truth. The Bible says that our faith needs to be renewed by hearing and hearing. And so if we're not hearing and hearing, we're not getting it. We have to understand that crucifying the flesh is something that we have to do all the time. It's something that we have to choose to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Again, he's speaking metaphorically, kind of. He's not saying, you know, that you have to just throw your life in the toilet. But what he's saying is if what you're after, and this is what so many Christians are after, but he said, if what you're after is self-preservation, then you've already lost it. You've already lost what God wants to do for you. Because in this way, so much of the church lives today. It's self-preservation. I'm going to come to God because I need God. And I'm going to stay with God because I need God. It's not, I'm never going to do it. They never transition into that place where they go out and they evangelize, that they go out and spread the gospel, that they want to see other people come to the Lord too. See, all of our decisions, every decision we make matters. And if we choose wrong, we choose death. When Christians go out there and they choose not to spread the word, there's people that die that aren't getting the gospel simply because no one shared it with them. Right. Praise the Lord. We have to always look for this opportunity. We have to always be willing to do it. But we can't do it. This world is so consumed with me. What's in it for me? What's there for me? It's not about us. I don't serve God for me. Right. I serve God because he's called me to. I serve God for my family. I serve God for the churches. Praise the Lord. I do it because I care about something greater than just myself. And I'm not saying that none of you do. You know, I'm not standing up here saying, oh, look how wonderful I am. Because listen, it literally takes crucifying the flesh every single day, because every single day I don't want to do it. Every single day I don't want to live right. There's times when I want to go back and smoke a joint. I'm just telling you the truth. There's times where I want to go take pills and do whatever I did before. Why? Because it seemed like it was easier. That's a lie of the devil, you understand. But it seemed like, well, I didn't have to think about all this stuff. And I didn't have, you know what happens when you serve God? People start hating you. Oh my gosh, people start hating you. They start wanting to tear you apart. I have people that I've helped for years. I've poured my life into, and they turn on me and bite me like a dog. Well, praise God. That's not enjoyable for me. I have to contend with people. And my pastor always told me, he said, you will want it for people more than they want it for themselves. And it's so true, because I can see things in people's lives. And I said, God wants to take you here, but you won't go. You fight it. You rally against it. Why? Because you won't crucify the flesh. Turn with me to Mark 10, 10:17. It's constant crucifying the flesh. Now, that doesn't sound like it's a fun thing to do, but that's not. It doesn't that we live our life without having fun. Because my wife and I were just talking. We were talking about we enjoy life more now than we ever have. Yeah. Our life is truly blessed. We're happy. We're like, oh my gosh. We're like, even in some of the toughest times, we have the joy of the Lord, and it's like, praise the Lord. It's glory to God, you know? But that's because we serve God with all our hearts, with everything that's in us. I don't apologize for that. I do it. I know I do it. I know I do it because I know who I am. And I know I sit there every single day and go through this. I go through this battle of the flesh where, you know what? I don't want to consecrate my Saturdays. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I've said it before. I don't want to consecrate my Saturdays for another church. I want to have Saturdays for myself, my family time. That's what I want, my flesh. What do? We crucify it because we care about the people of this town. You know, the Lord has spoken to me so much about this area. And he's given me so many things to hold on to. And one of the things that he told me just last week in service in Mayville, the Lord spoke to me and he said, Corey, because Mayville was easy for me to love. Why? Because it was like your first child, you know. It was just easy. You were just like everything was there, and you went out, and you know, you loved the area and all that stuff. And the Lord said somebody needs to love Corey like that, and it melted my heart because I'm like, dear Lord, I want to be the one who loves Corey like that. I want to love the people of this town like that. You know what I'm saying? There's no, you know, there's not, you know, Mayville, we have a lake, we have all these nice things, you know. There's, you know, Corey is just a small town in the middle of Pennsylvania somewhere, you know what I mean? There's nothing that would draw me from a vacation spot. People vacation where I live. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? There's nothing naturally that would draw me to that, sure. But the love of God does. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so that's what consecration is. And see, when you get into it, then you're like, well, praise the Lord. This is where I'm happy anyways. And see, that's the blessing meets up with you. Amen. That's how it works. Well, praise God. Matthew 10:17 says here, now as he, Jesus, was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery. Praise the Lord. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way. You notice he said, one thing you lack. He was speaking to this man because Jesus knew he was a prophet of God. One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I want to stop here for a second because I want to bring up a point. You know, there's a lot of people that preach, see, this is Jesus. God doesn't want people to have money. He doesn't want people to be blessed. You know, he wants people to live a life of poverty if they follow him. There's no truth in that whatsoever. Well, and we're going to see this here as we read on, that the reason that Jesus said this specifically to this man was because this man, his riches had him. Yes. We're about to find, well, we see it right there. He was sad at this word. What saddened him? He wasn't thinking about what the Bible promises. He wasn't thinking about what God promised. He wasn't thinking about what Jesus promised. And Jesus, my wife read Luke 6:38. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that. He spoke. He said, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. So this man, if he knew the scripture, he knew he couldn't outgive God. He would have known he couldn't outgive God. But see, this is the way so many religious people, he said, I followed all these things from my youth. Why was he following these things? Well, he was obviously, he had been to church or temple or whatever it was at the time. He knew something about the word. Amen. A lot of Christians know something about the word. A lot of Christians, you sit there and try to talk to them and they're like, well, you know, I've heard all that and I get all that. But no, you don't. There's progressive revelation. There's things that even you can learn. Hallelujah. There's things that I can learn. There's things that we can learn. All, in fact, I am learning constantly. God is teaching me. If we stop learning, we're fools. And it's not God's fault. Praise the Lord. But this man, obviously, he wasn't getting it. He was saying, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, Jesus was putting a call out there. He was saying, you can follow me. Actually, this man probably could have been another disciple, another apostle. Well, how could God have used this man? But he chose wrong. Amen. He made a choice, but it wasn't the right one. And he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now look how Jesus responds to it. And this is where people get, I don't know why they don't continue reading, because this is where it tells us all about this. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? Wow, see, Jesus is against it. He is against you having money. He just wants to suck it right out of you. Wants you to give it all away, right? And his disciples were astonished at his words. Why were they astonished at his words? Because they were with Jesus. They knew what he was preaching. Yeah. He wasn't preaching poverty. He wasn't preaching that, oh, God wants you poor and defeated and broken. No, he was a prosperity preacher, for God's sakes. He was out there talking. He wasn't?
Yeah, he was.
He was a prosperity preacher. Everywhere he went, he had provision. Yeah. I call that prosperity. Yeah. I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of times in my life I had no provision. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't a fun place to be. I didn't call myself prosperous, and I certainly wasn't spiritually prosperous at the time. If you have no provision, you're not prosperous.
Yeah, right.
Jesus always had provision, amen? But look how he deals with it. The disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to him. Why did he answer again? Because he's clarifying something. Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? Praise the Lord. Well, this is one of my, I love going railing against those Bible things that people get misunderstood. That, you know, I heard a preacher trying to argue things about stuff that we believe. It was so funny because the preacher misquoted the Bible. He said, well, the love of the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. It says that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say it's the root of all evil. It says it's the love of money, not money, the love of money. The love of money. The love of money. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. What's the love of money? I can't give that up. I won't give that up. You don't have to be rich to not give something up. In our poverty, I remember the first time, one of the first times my wife and I were, we were just started tithing. And we had no money. I mean, none. And so our tithe was taking our no money and making it less. Amen. And so this is what we did. And I looked, and we weren't married yet. We were in church together. And I look, I decided, I was like, well, if I give what my tithe is, then I'm not going to be able to have any money the rest of the week. And I didn't like that. And I thought, well, I'll just hold back because then next week I'll make it up. Which I wouldn't have done, because you know how it goes, right? And I looked over at my wife, and she wasn't my wife yet, but you weren't my wife yet. No, because our finances weren't together yet. And because we're smart, a smart husband and wife, we put our finances together. We don't hide from each other. Praise the Lord. But we just don't give provision for the flesh. I'm just telling you, like, you do whatever you want to do. It's not the word of the Lord, but I'm just saying, the Bible says that we're one, so everything's one. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Our friends are one. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Helping you, but.
Yes.
But anyways, I look over at her, and I see her, and she made less money than I did. And she had a lot less money than I did. And I see her with a smile, sticking the money in the envelope. Da, 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 da. Yeah. Preaching at me. She didn't say a word, but it preached to me. I'll put it in there, I guess. I'm like, praise the Lord. But we're not, God has promised us that he's never left us nor forsaken. We're going to keep seeing this here. We're not done. Praise God. I got to go. Praise the Lord. But he hasn't taken away from us at all. But he was trying to increase us. Give and it shall be given to you. Praise the Lord. Where am I? Verse 24. Okay. And the disciples were astonished. Okay, he said that. How hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? Verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Now look at how Jesus answers it. Because Peter's saying, we did what that dude didn't want to do.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah.
Look at us. Jesus, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. I left all. Now look how Jesus responds to it. See, this is what the man should have known. This is what people in church should know. This is what Christians should know. So Jesus answered and said, Jesus wasn't just using words because, you know, he wanted to have some conversation. Jesus spoke with authority. He spoke with purpose. Amen. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Praise the Lord. Jesus said nobody's left that stuff. Nobody's left the things of the world and hasn't received more in this life.
Yeah, that's right.
Why? Because that's what our God does. Our God, Jesus, Romans 8:32. If he gave us Jesus, how will he not with him freely give us all things? All things. Jesus said, don't worry. Matthew 7, verse 20-something, right around there. Jesus said, don't worry about all that stuff. Don't worry about what you put in. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about your stuff. Just seek first the kingdom of God, and all those things will be added to you. He said, I'll take care of it all. Jesus promised he'd take care of it. Well, I'm glad you're excited about that. This Easter Sunday, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's quiet in this Presbyterian congregation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. We're Pentecostals. If you didn't know, we're all Pentecostals. All of us here, right? Praise the Lord. If you love the word, you love God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We believe. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. We're going to close here. Luke 9. Praise the Lord. This is why Jesus came. He came so we could have an abundant life. He told us that. Matthew didn't tell us that. John didn't tell us that. Mark didn't tell us that. Paul didn't tell us that. Jesus told us that. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Aren't you glad? You know, abundant life doesn't just mean that you're going to sit there rich, having somebody feed you grapes on your chaise lounge. Hallelujah. My life is abundant. I'm in full joy. I get to enjoy my family. I get to enjoy a wonderful life. A wife. We have heaven on earth. A heaven on earth marriage. Glory to God. People like, oh, you're just lucky. I'm not lucky. Praise the Lord. Just follow the Lord. You follow God, he'll lead you to all that good stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. I close here in Luke 9:23. He's got good things for us. Amen. This is why Jesus died. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Notice what it says here. It says, take up his cross. I love this version of it. Jesus said, let him take up his cross. What is your cross? Your cross is those things you have to lay down for the kingdom of God. Your cross may be money. Your cross may be jobs. It may be vacations. It may be a wrong relationship. It may be many wrong relationships. Your cross could be many things, amen? But notice he said to do it daily. Yeah. There are daily things that we get to choose. He says, today I've set before you life and death. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Blessing and cursing. Yeah. Not that God is going to curse us, but our choice will lead us to blessing or will lead us to cursing. Yeah. Will you choose today? Will you choose God? Will you choose the right way? Will you say, you know what? Lord, I see in your plan that you've got good things for me. I want that. Praise the Lord. There ain't nobody that's going to hold me back from it. Yeah. My wife and I, we have an agreement. Amen. It's even an unspoken agreement. But we both know it to be true. That if I stop serving God, she goes on without me. If she stops serving God, I go on without her. That's the way it is. Why? Because serving God is the most important thing in our lives. We're going to serve God until the day that it's time that we believe that we'll be raptured out of here first. Praise the Lord. But if Jesus tarries and we're not, glory to God, and we just pass on. Praise the Lord. And then when we die, we're gonna die blessed. We're gonna die in the plan of God. Amen. And we're gonna die living it. Praise the Lord. You can do it too, and you need to do it. Yeah. This is the reason that Christians aren't finding the peace, because they're not looking for it in the right place. Right. Look for it where God has put it. First in his word. Yeah. Second with his Holy Spirit. Right. third in his church, in front with the ministry offices. Praise the Lord. God has given us these things to bless us, to increase us. And again, I'm not just talking financial increase. I'm talking about increase of life, a blessed and abundant life. Think about the things that you're lacking today. Think about the things that you're, and I don't want you to dwell on them too long, but think about those things. God wants to make those things. He wants to make provision for those things. And if they're not things, he wants you to crucify them, the right things, amen? But at any rate, God has taken us to a good place, but we need to choose to go with him. Amen.